Reboot. Tim, reboot. I'm going to. Title of our message today, my fault I didn't get to Nate this week. It's not in the bulletin. But the title is, and borrowed from conversations with Teresa, Out-Imagine the Enemy. That's the title of our message. In fact, that's what I've been talking about for the past month. I attended a seminar down at Mount Vernon Nazarene University, Teresa and I did, and one of her favorite, well, probably her favorite Old Testament scholar, and that's Walter Brueggemann. And he made a statement, this was probably 10 years ago, maybe longer, and he made a statement at that seminar that I didn't understand. I do now. I didn't then. He said about Jesus that Jesus out-imagined his enemies. And I know that Teresa understood it. I didn't get it at that time. And I can see now that all that time since I heard that statement, it's been swirling around in my head and it has informed my ministry. And there's such a powerful truth that is clawing to get out today. And we talked about this morning in Teresa's class about being at the borders of language. You know, sometimes we talked about how the Spirit tells you things. Have you ever had that experience? You have the Spirit telling you something, and then you go and you try and convey it, and you try and say it, and the minute you do, the words seem to diffuse the power of that experience that you had. Have you ever had that happen? It's like, and I said, I think the Spirit communicates with us in a non-language way. And I know that to be true. And when then you try and put language around it, it's almost impossible to do. And that is the frustration that I feel. And that has been backed up by a couple of conversations I had this week. I feel that frustration that what the Spirit is saying to me, and then I try and put into words, sometimes it doesn't come across. I had a conversation this week. Well, first of all, before those conversations, I know that this topic is resonating with people. I know it's resonating with God's people. Because I have had, this week, three people just, you literally out of the blue, come up to me and say, wow, what you're teaching is just, it's blowing me away. It is so much, it is so deep, it is so good. And I had no clue that they were even plugged into this. But what that said to me is this. This topic is something that the people of God are starving for, to hear. Starving. And, but at the same time, I think, you know, Rush Limbaugh, who's brilliant, what do they think about his politics? He's a brilliant man. And he said that his job was to take the complex and make it simple. And that's what I need to do with this topic. I need to take the complex and make it simple. And I need to talk about how you can out-imagine the enemy. And how Jesus out-imagined his enemies. And so I had a conversation with a lady who, you know her, but she'll remain anonymous. And she said, I really like your messages, this theme that you've been on for the past 3 or 4 weeks. She said, where are you going with it? And I said, I don't know where I'm going with this. I said, is it confusing? And there was a long pause. And this is a spiritually adept woman. This is a woman of the Word. And so when there was a long pause, I knew that there was some confusion for her. And then I had a conversation with Teresa after, again, a woman of the Word, and not no theological lightweight here. And she said to me, I need you to, you're talking about this, you say this triad, you say see, experience, and apply. She said, you said that, and I'm not sure I know what you mean. See, experience, and apply. And I have to somewhat apologize, because when the Spirit brings these things to me, he always brings them in triads. There's triads that he brings to me. He brings to me three words or three phrases or three ideas that connect together. And she said, I need you to explain this see, experience, and apply thing that you talked about last week. And then Jim, Jim said to me after last week's sermon, he said, I'm going to have to listen to this three times to understand what's going on. So there's my frustration, that I need to really reboot, and that's what I try to do today. Jesus said, I'm going to take a run at it. Help me out with your prayers. I'm going to take a run at this. Jesus said in John 8, 23 and 24, which was the springboard of this whole idea for me. He said, I'm going to give you the Holman translation, then I'm going to give you what Eugene Peterson does with it. He's talking to his adversaries. Understand that. He's talking to his enemies. And he says to them, you're from below. I'm from above. John 8, 23 and 24. You're of the earth. I'm not of the earth. And that is why I say to you that you will die in your sins. And he repeats that. Unless you believe that I am who I say I am, you will die in your sins. Eugene Peterson, who translated scripture, and you're familiar with his work, The Message. Now, Eugene Peterson's work is not something that you would do an in-depth study, you know, like word search kind of thing with scripture, which I do. Eugene Peterson gives, though, the tenor of the passage. He gives the, you know what I mean by that? He gives the thought of the passage. And Eugene Peterson takes that passage, and he says this, and you've heard me say this before. He says to his enemies, you're tied down to the mundane. I am in touch with what is beyond your horizons. You live in terms of what you can see and what you can touch right in front of you. I am living on other terms. And then he tells them the problem. You'll miss God in all of this, he says. All of this, you know. We're in this, aren't we? This week, last 2 weeks in our nation, we're in all of this. When he's talking to his enemies here, his adversaries, he's talking to the non-people of God in this passage, 8, 23, and 24 John. He's talking to the non-people of God. And he is telling them they will experience eternal consequences. They are forever, and you've heard me say this before, bears repeating, they will forever be enveloped by their earthly facts. That's a depressing thought, isn't it? No renewal, no redemption. You are ever going to be enveloped, dying in your sins, your earthly facts. Now, he's talking to the non-people of God. And you can read that verse, and I can read it, and you can say, whew. Because I'm a person of God. I'm going to submit something to you. This applies also to the people of God in another respect. And this is where the resonation has come with this message. We have people listening to this that you wouldn't imagine. This is where it resonates with God's people. This same thought. And I like the way Peterson says that. Doesn't that work tied down to the mundane? Doesn't that work? That resonates with God's people, because for God's people, there aren't eternal consequences. You're in the kingdom, your name's in the book, but it has very real here and now consequences for God's people. Very real. And what is it, what happens to us, the consequences for us, is that we can miss God in all of this if we're tied down to the mundane. Now, the Spirit wants you to be released from that. Paul gives the same admonition to the people of God. Listen, people of God, this is what Paul says to you. And you, yeah, I'm going to go over these verses again. He says this in Colossians 3, 1 to 4, and he says it in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul says the same exact thing that Jesus just said in 8, 23 and 24. If you've been raised with the Messiah, Colossians 3, 1 to 4, if you've been raised with the Messiah, seek what is above, where the Messiah is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on what is above, not on what is on the earth, not to the mundane. For you have died, and your life is hidden with the Messiah in God. And when the Messiah is revealed, Christ who is your life, your hidden life will be revealed with him. And Paul says, it'll be glorious. That's Colossians 3, 1 to 4. Soak yourselves. Soak yourselves in that passage. 2 Corinthians 4, he says, so we don't focus on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Well, how do you focus on what you can't see, Paul? Would that be a question? Is that reasonable, Paul? Well, he says, yeah, that's reasonable. I'm going to explain that. Because what you see is temporary. What you don't see is eternal. Paul says there what Jesus says in 8, 23 and 24 to you and to me. You don't have to be tied down to the mundane. And in fact, you shouldn't be. Why, Paul? Because you've died to such. For you have died, and your life is hidden. How does that sound to you? Well, I'll tell you how it sounds to me. It sounds exceedingly good. And I had to wrestle with something. Is that true? Or is it not? I mean, is Jesus giving us an impossible task? Is Paul giving us an impossible task? Are these men setting you and me up for abject failure and frustration? Because if we're to seek what is above, we're to set our minds on what is above. Jesus said, seek the kingdom first. Remember, to Nicodemus, he says, you can't see the kingdom of God unless you're born again, which implies what? That you can see the kingdom of God if you're born again. So either it's true and it's a present help, or it isn't. 44 authors, right here. You know, Claire carried my Bible up today, and she said, when my daddy owned your house, can I have this Bible? So, I guess, anyway, it's a mess. You can see it's a mess. I got it at Ollie's for like $3. Anyway, I've used it for forever. I'd be so lost without this Bible. It's my notes, but anyway. Totally off the subject there. This book, there are 44 authors, and they wrote 66 some books. And they all say, with one voice, they say something to us. Fear not, because your real life is in another world, and your only treasure is Christ. Is that true? present help, future hope. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, I talked last week, I'm going to review it. Last week I did it again, I'm going to review it. He says, you need to be informed, God's people, so that you don't grieve like the rest who have no hope. Are the people of God tied down to the mundane? Are you? Are you tied down to the mundane? It has this worldly consequences if you are. How do we get out of that? How do we, the people of God, appropriate this help so that it materially affects our lives today? Am I talking to anybody? I know I am, because I'm getting feedback. I mean, we can't just make this pie in the sky by and by. Something happened to us in Genesis 3 as a species. Something really bad. We lost our potential. And we got stuck in our actual, Teresa's terms again, our potential was right there, right there. We were there. Genesis 1 and 2, go in the garden, work it, and watch over it. One stipulation, just one. Let me be the arbiter of what's right and wrong. Don't you take that mantle upon yourself, because you can't handle it. We lost something in chapter 3 when the enemy sidled up to them. And here's what he does to us every single day. Well, me, every single day. You're stuck in your actual. Our potential was left, and we were stuck in the actual. Familiarize yourself with those two terms. I'm going to be using them. I want you to understand them. Your actual would be your earthly facts. Your potential is the heavenly truth behind the earthly facts. Something bad happened. And Jesus burst on the scene, and he brings with him God's future, comes rushing forward and meets us in the present. And Jesus says audaciously, you can see, you can experience, and you can apply your potential kingdom life now. Tracking? Clicking? How do we appropriate this help so that it materially affects our lives? Let me tell you one thing about this, and I know this. Because I have knowledge. I had knowledge for years. You have knowledge. Knowledge is not enough. See, I'm telling you this, and I bet there's nobody in here who doesn't believe it. All right? Knowledge is not enough. I know that. Because so many of God's people are tied down to the mundane. So many of God's people are missing God in all of this. So many of God's people are stuck in their actual. Knowledge isn't enough. I had knowledge. Experience. Isn't that true? Experience. And those experiences aren't always good. But it is knowledge with the foundation of experience that is our way. Here's the trilogy. See, experience, and apply. So we have to understand. Remember I said Paul talks about opposing truths that exist in a person's life? You as God's people, we have opposing truths. You know what I mean by that? You've got your actual earthly facts. And coexisting with those are these potential heavenly truths? Well, it seems like a pretty big gap between the two, Tim. Yeah, it is. Well, can we bridge it? Can you experience, here's the question that I've been trying to get across. Can you experience your potential now? Can you live out of your potential now? And does that affect your actual? Human nature is thus. What you see, this is what Jesus said in 8:23 and 24. What you see right in front of you, what you experience right in front of you, will be the template that you use to apply as that which defines your life. Well, that was really a cumbersome sentence. What you see and experience day by day, your actual, will be the source material you draw on to say, this is my life. This defines my life. Good. You're clicking. I'm nodding. Yes. See, that's tied down to the mundane. That's human nature. Paul says, Jesus says, 44 authors say, what you don't see now, this is the flagship sentence coming at you right here. What you don't see now, you can experience now, and you should apply now as that which defines your life. If you get that sentence, you got a lot. I just gave you the key. I just gave you the missing link.
Could you repeat that?
No. What you don't see now, you can experience now. Now, that's a big one. You can. You can experience your potential now. And that is what you should use to define your life. You can experience your potential now. And what we will learn, here's where I'm going to hook a lot of you. Hook me. What you can learn by experiencing your potential, it actually boomerangs back and changes your actual. Ah, now I gotcha. In a way you can't imagine, in a way you don't think. We're together at Newville, and those listening, we're going to experience our potential together. And that experience is going to change your actual. Seek first the kingdom, and what will happen? Your actual changes. Cool. Yeah. No, I get that, Jesus. Seek first the kingdom, and all these things are going to be added. So if I experience my potential, Jesus promised me right there, he's going to come back behind that and affect my actual. Oh, I like that. Let me give you an example, personal example. I was a gangly kid. I was a wallflower. I was overlooked by everybody. Believe me. Had zero confidence spoken into me. Zero. In fact, I had the opposite. One day, I was in eighth grade. Coach Bill Kirkbride, Lexington, drove me home. He said, Tim, I want to give you a ride home. Okay. Drove me home, and he said, I'm going to tell you something. He was the ninth grade basketball coach at Lexington. When I was in eighth grade, I played 2 minutes and 30 seconds the entire season. And because I was told, you're never going to make it. They just want to use you. That's what I was told. The enemy tell you that? Enemy get in your head? This is your actual, Tim. This is going to be your experience. Drove me home, Bill Kirkbride. He said, Tim, I'm going to tell you something. Next year, you're going to be on a ninth grade team, and you are going to start every single game. What? He brought my potential into my imagination. I was stunned, and I then started living out of that potential. I experienced it in my mind. I saw it. How powerful are those words to me in my life? Those are the, I look back at my life, that whole basketball experience, because I became a very excellent high school basketball player because of that one man. Because I was told, I conveyed that message, and I was told, they don't want you. They just want you to, they want to use you in practice. But you know what I did? I out-imagined that opponent. Can you live out of your potential, heavenly truths, now? Can you experience it now in such a way that it will affect your actual... Listen, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, this is the truth. This can happen for you, born from a tremendous amount of pain in my life. But it gives it context, you know. At least it gives it some context for me. That's why Jesus said, it's easier for a rich man to go through an eye of the needle than to see the kingdom of God. Can you see that? Because they're so happy with their actual. That's why Jesus said, unless you die, he said, if you hold on to your life, you lose it. If you give up your life, you gain it. Now I'm getting that, see, in a whole new way. Because if we don't give up our actual, as this experience defines my life, if we don't give that up and die to that, that's what Paul says, you've died to that, the newness can't come. Paul, Jesus, 44 authors say with one voice, fear not. Your real life's in another world, and your only treasure is Christ. Now, I have the feeling that I was able to reboot here. I have that feeling. I feel good about it. So don't anybody discourage me after the message. Just go with it. Because I feel good right now that I was able to reboot and give you a good background to where I want to go with this. So armed with this background, next week I'm going to tell you, you are going to find out how to actually live out of the potential of the heavenly truth in such a way that it affects your actual life today. Let's pray. Lord, I think I hit it, and I think your spirit was in this, and I'm thanking you for that in advance. Amen.